Hello, hello, hello. Here's Malanka, Auroville Radio, Sri Aurobindo, Synthesis of Yoga, continuing to share some of these very special and magical and mystical ideas. If knowledge is the widest power of the consciousness and its function is to free and illumine, yet love is the deepest and most intense, and its privilege is to be the key to the most profound and secret recesses of the divine mystery. Man, because he is a mental being, is prone to give the highest importance to the thinking mind and its reason and will, and to its way of approach and effectuation of truth, and even he is inclined to hold that there is no other. The heart, with its emotions and incalculable movements, is to the eye of his intellect an obscure, uncertain, and often a perilous and misleading power which needs to be kept in control by the reason and the mental will and intelligence. And yet there is in the heart, or behind it, a profounder mystic light which, if not what we call intuition, for that, though not of the mind, yet descends through the mind, has yet a direct approach upon truth, and is nearer to the divine than the human intellect in its pride of knowledge. According to the ancient teaching, the seat of the immanent divine, the hidden Purusha, is in the mystic heart, the secret heart cave, Hridaye Guhayam, as the Upanishads put it, and according to the experience of many yogins, it is from its depths that there comes the voice or the breath of the inner oracle. This ambiguity, these opposing appearances of depth and blindness, are created by the double character of the human emotive being. For there is in front, in man, a heart of vital emotion, similar to the animals, and if more variously developed. Its emotions are governed by egoistic passion, blind instinctive affections, and all the play of the life impulses with their imperfections, perversions, often sordid degradations. A heart besieged and given over to the lusts, desires, wraths, intense or fierce demands, or little greeds and mean pettinesses of an obscure and fallen life force, and debased by its slavery to any and every impulse. This mixture of the emotive heart and the sensational hungering vital creates in man a false soul of desire. It is this that is the crude and dangerous element which the reason rightly distrusts and feels the need to control, even though the actual control, or rather coercion, it succeeds in establishing over our raw and insistent vital nature remains always very uncertain and deceptive. But the true soul of man is not there. It is in the true invisible heart, hidden in some luminous cave of the nature. There, under some infiltration of the divine light, is our soul, a silent, inmost being of which few are even aware. For if we all have a soul, few are conscious of their true soul or feel its direct impulse. There dwells the little spark of the divine which supports the obscure mass of our nature, and around it grows the psychic being, the formed soul, or the real man within us. It is as this psychic being in him grows and the movements of the heart reflect its divinations and impulsions that man becomes more and more aware of his soul and ceases to be a superior animal, and awakening to glimpses of the Godhead within him, admits more and more its intimations of a deeper life and consciousness, and an impulse toward things divine. It is one of the decisive movements of the integral yoga that this psychic being, liberated, brought out from the veil to the front, can pour the full flood of its divinations, seeings, and impulsions upon the mind, the life and body of man, and begin to prepare the upbuilding of divinity in the earthly nature. As in the works of knowledge, so in dealing with the workings of the heart, we are obliged to make a preliminary distinction between two categories of movements: those that are either moved by the true soul or aid towards its liberation and rule in the nature, and those that are turned to the satisfaction of the unpurified vital nature. But the distinctions ordinarily laid down in this sense are of little use for the deeper spiritual purpose of yoga. Thus, a division can be made between religious emotions and mundane feelings, and it can be laid down as a rule of spiritual life that the religious emotions alone should be cultivated, and all worldly feelings and passions must be rejected and fall away from our existence. This in practice would mean the religious life of the saint or devotee, alone within with the divine, or linked only to others in a common God love, or at the most pouring out the fountains of a sacred religious or pietistic love on the world outside. But religious emotion itself is too constantly invaded by the turmoil and obscurity of the vital movements, and it is often either crude or narrow or fanatical or mixed with movements that are not signs of the spirit's perfection. It is evidence, besides, that even at the best, an intense figure of sainthood clamped in rigid hieratic lines is quite other than the wide ideal of an integral yoga. A larger psychic and emotional relation with God and the world, more deep and plastic in its essence, more wide and embracing in its movements, more capable of taking up in its sweep the whole of life, is imperative. A wider formula has been provided by the secular mind of man, of which the basis is the ethical sense. For it distinguishes between the emotions sanctioned by the ethical sense and those that are egoistic and selfishly common and mundane. It is the works of altruism, philanthropy, compassion, benevolence, humanitarianism, service, labor for the well-being of man and all creatures that are to be our ideal. To shuffle off the coil of egoism and grow into a soul of self-abnegation that lives only or mainly for others or for humanity as a whole is the way of man's inner evolution, according to this doctrine. Or if this is too secular and mental to satisfy the whole of our being, since there is a deeper religious and spiritual note that is left out of account by the humanitarian formula, a religio-ethical foundation can be provided for it, and such indeed its original basis. To the inner worship of the divine or the supreme by the devotion of the heart, or to the pursuit of the ineffable by the seeking of a highest knowledge, can be added a worship through altruistic works, or a preparation through acts of love, benevolence, service to mankind, to those around us. It is indeed by the religio-ethical sense that the law of universal goodwill, or universal compassion, or of love and service to the neighbor, the Vedantic, the Buddhistic, the Christian ideal, was created. Only by a sort of secular refrigeration extinguishing the religious element in it could the humanitarian ideal disengage itself and become the highest plane of a secular system of mental and moral ethics. For in the religious system, this law of works is a means that ceases when its object is accomplished, or a side issue. It is a part of the cult by which one adores and seeks the divinity, or it is a penultimate step of the excision of self in the passage to nirvana. In the secular ideal, it is promoted into an object in itself. It becomes a sign of the moral perfection of the human being, or else it is a condition for a happier state of man upon earth, a better society, a more united life of the race. But none of these things satisfy the demand of the soul that is placed before us by the integral yoga. Altruism, philanthropy, humanitarianism, service are flowers of the mental consciousness and are at best the mind's cold and pale imitation of the spiritual flame of universal divine love. Not truly liberative from ego sense, they widen it at most and give it a higher and larger satisfaction. Impotent in practice to change man's vital life and nature, they only modify and palliate its action and daub over its unchanged egoistic essence. Or, if they are intensely followed with an entire sincerity of the will, it is by an exaggerated amplification of one side of our nature. In that exaggeration, there can be no clue for the full and perfect divine evolution of the many sides of our individual being towards the universal and transcendent eternal. Nor can the religio-ethical ideal be a sufficient guide. For this is a compromise, or compact of mutual concessions for mutual support between a religious urge which seeks to get a closer hold on earth by taking into itself the higher turns of ordinary human nature, and an ethical urge which hopes to elevate itself out of its own mental hardness and dryness by some touch of religious fervor. In making this compact, religion lowers itself to the mental level and inherits the inherent imperfections of mind and its inability to convert and transform life. The mind is the sphere of the dualities, and just as it is impossible for it to achieve any absolute truth, but only truths relative or mixed with error, so it is impossible for it to achieve any absolute good. For moral good exists as a counterpart and corrective to evil, and has evil always as its shadow, complement, almost its reason for existence. But the spiritual consciousness belongs to a higher than the mental plane, and there the dualities cease. For there falsehood, confronted with the truth by which it profited through a usurping falsification of it, and evil, faced by the good of which it was a perversion or a lurid substitute, are obliged to perish for want of sustenance and to cease. The integral yoga, refusing to rely upon the fragile stuff of mental and moral ideals, puts its whole emphasis in this field on three central dynamic processes: the development of the true soul or psychic being to take the place of the false soul of desire, the sublimation of human into divine love, the elevation of consciousness from its mental to its spiritual and supramental plane, by whose power alone both the soul and the life force can be utterly delivered from the veils and prevarications of the ignorance. Let us pause at this point in this lovely book on this lovely day. Until the next episode. Thank you for listening to Auroville Radio. May light shine upon your day and your soul. Bye for now.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.